Let's talk about the cost of living here in Western Washington. Electricity rates and electricity bills are going up sharply for a lot of people. A 12.6% increase. That's the report from Cairo 7, Channel 7 TV.
Cost of electricity, yeah, that's also on the rise. That's putting the economic squeeze on some families.
My energy bill is nearly exactly double what it was last year.
So why are electric rates going up? The feds say the cost of electricity in Washington state is 12.6% higher than it was last year. That is nearly twice the increase for the rest of the nation. And some families say they're falling behind. One culprit is the state's big push for clean energy.
So that reason for cleaner energy is driving up the cost of electricity bills here in the state of Washington. I wanted to try and see if we could get some answers as to what's going on with all this. So I contacted Washington Policy Center's Environmental Policy Director, Todd Myers. And Todd's always very accessible and helpful in explaining some of these things that are going on in the real world. Hi, Todd. Thanks for coming back on The Morning Ride.
Yeah, always nice to chat with you. Good morning.
So Channel 7 ended up contacting you as well for their reporting about all this. But they kind of connect it to a little bit of the politics here in the state of Washington on the climate agenda stuff, but then also on the drought conditions that we've got more in eastern Washington and how that affects hydroelectric dam output. Is that the scenario that we're looking at for higher electricity costs?
Yeah, I think anytime you have on energy prices, there's a lot of different factors, obviously, but I think that there's a few that are worth noting. The first, of course, is the state's tax on CO2 emissions. And the woman that was interviewed said energy prices, and that could mean electricity. The state utility commission has allowed rate increases because of that tax on CO2 emissions. And Seattle City Light also has increased its rates. Seattle City Light has less CO2 emitting sources of energy, but they do use them, especially when they need immediate power, like a natural gas plant to turn on, something like that. So it affects them as well. It also affects natural gas, like home heating or cooking or things like that. So all of those things are affected. The other thing, though, is that because we are very hydro heavy, that's a good thing in this state, because actually our rates are lower than national average. We used to have one of the lowest rates. We don't have the lowest rates anymore because of hydro. And so when we have droughts and things like that a few years, then what you see are situations where there are shortages and they have to go out on the market. And the market, because of higher demand, because of electrification, electric vehicles, data centers, all these things that people are talking about, the costs on the market are higher. So there's a variety of factors, but the state's policies pushing us toward green energy, which is more expensive, and taxing reliable energy like natural gas certainly plays a role.
Yeah, as opposed to some of the wind power, solar power that kind of swings up and down. It sort of peaks with the right conditions and then it drops off in other conditions. So the Channel 7 reporter, Deborah Horn, ended up talking to this Kent woman. She's a mother, talking about the costs on her electrical bill.
How much higher is it than it was?
This time last year, mine is about $60.
According to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, the cost of electricity in this state has risen more than $1.50 per kilowatt hour in just 1 year.
So all this is going up in Washington. Is this just happening with some utilities, or is this kind of an across-the-board problem for Avista customers over in Spokane or eastern Washington versus utility customers here on the west side of the state?
Well, you're seeing rate increases everywhere for a variety of reasons. Now, different utilities, because they have different mixes of energy and different vulnerabilities, will see different increases, but they're all seeing increases. Like I said, we actually, if you remember last year, the Utilities Commission approved a rate increase for Puget Sound Energy, but then prohibited Puget Sound Energy from putting that on the bill, from noting that it was due to the CO2 increase. So there are a lot of political games with this.
Right. That comes back to transparency concerns.
That's exactly right. The other issue is that, you know, we just had a lot of rain, but earlier this week we had very hot weather across Washington and Northwest.
Right.
And during those periods of time, what you see is wind go away. So wind almost disappeared for those hot days. And so for those who use air conditioning and things like that, which is a growing number of people, their energy, wind wasn't there to provide that. And so when you are seeing increased demand because the weather is hot and you're seeing wind go away, well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to buy resources that are on the market. You're going to have to buy natural gas, things that are taxed higher, things that there's a lot of competition for. So there's also situations like that where simply having more intermittent sources like wind makes prices more volatile and makes your system less predictable.
Yeah, talking to Todd Myers, the Washington Policy Center here. He's their environmental policy director. And we're just talking about this report from Channel 7. Says electricity bills for Washington customers going up about 12%, and trying to get some of the specifics in on that. You were just kind of talking about the power draw. When we get this hot weather spike like we had a couple of days ago before the rain settled in last night and this morning. And I remember getting an email from a listener if it wasn't the end of June, it must have been the very beginning of July, so a little over a month ago. And it was when we were having a hot weather push back in the end of June or the beginning of July. And he was saying he got an alert as a Puget Sound Energy customer about, be aware, we might have short interruptions, brownouts, based on electricity consumption, and that people should try and use less electricity, make sure you're turning off the lights and things like that so that they can avoid the idea of this power interruption known as a brownout, a temporary short-term one. Based on what you follow about this, have those sorts of warnings gone out for any other utilities and in places that you're able to keep tabs on around the state? Like we had just this hot stretch earlier in the week?
Yeah. You're going to see more of those. And they've used them in California and they've used them here. One reason that you see more of those is simply that they're easy, right? It's easy to send a text telling people, please conserve and do those sorts of things. I like those very much. What we tend to talk about is supply, making sure that there is a reliable supply of electricity so that when it's needed, we can turn it on. But there's also demand. I mean, consumers have a role to play and should have more power in this. The decisions about electricity shouldn't just be made behind closed doors between utilities and the utility commission and government. Consumers should play a bigger role. And those texts, I think, give people information. They don't require people to do anything, but they tell people, hey, you know, if you can conserve, please do that. The other thing is that Seattle City Light is looking at, or is going to, I won't say looking at, they're going to do what's called time of use pricing, which is that electricity is expensive in the evening when it is most expensive for them, and least expensive in the early morning hours when it is least expensive. People are going to have to get used to this. They're not going to like it because it's going to be a change. They're going to be skeptical of it. And I understand that skepticism. But I think it's a good thing because, again, it puts power in the hand of individuals rather than just relying on government rate makers to say, here's how much you're going to pay. Sorry, you know, too bad.
Yeah. It's surge pricing is essentially what they're doing, right? This is what we talk about with Uber or Lyft or rideshare. When the concert lets out or the sports event lets out and everyone wants to try and get a ride home or a ride back to wherever they parked or a ride back to wherever they need to be. The trick is when we get to the dark months in Washington in the winter half of the year and we're all forced to, you know, light our homes and things like that, from a much earlier time in the day, that's when that surge is going to go up. And does it go for more than an hour when it's darker out in the winter months, or does it stay for that 1 or 2 hours from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, stuff like that?
The time is set because the use of energy is predictable every day. The peak is between about 4 and 7 p.m. Okay. So that's when the rates are going to be highest. So if you want to turn on your, and that's actually one of the strategies, is to turn on your, you know, if you have electric heat, this is an account for natural gas, but if you have electric heat, turn it on at 6 a.m. Heat your house before the rates go up, you know, around 8 a.m. And that actually is a good strategy. So people, it's going to be an adjustment. People are going to be skeptical. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I don't give government agencies the benefit of the doubt
very often.
and I don't on this either. And I don't expect other people to, but I do encourage people to look at it. Because one, they have more power and they should have more control over, you know, their costs. And second, the way we do it right now, rates are set for them by, like I say,
the commission,
the government,
right?
or government and, you know, private utilities behind closed doors. And that shouldn't be. We need more transparency.
All right. Get it out in the open. And then the other thing we're hearing a lot about is the advent of artificial intelligence, computing, and the supercomputing that it takes to make the AI go, and data centers, I think, is the kind of the catch-all phrase for where you have these more powerful computers that are going to be sucking up and hoovering up more electricity usage and more power usage. Are we getting a lot of growth on those types of facilities, data centers here in the state, or is that not a factor?
So I don't think we've seen it yet. I actually looked at, after the because of the Cairo story, I went and looked at our demand, and total Washington State demand in 2023, which is the most recent data, was basically the same as right before COVID. So what we haven't, it's basically the same. We haven't seen much growth. We're going to see growth. We're going to see growth because of electric vehicles, because of data centers, because of electrification, a variety of things. The Pacific Northwest National Labs did a study and said, okay, if we meet, you know, if we have 1 million new electric vehicles in Washington by 2030, what will happen? And they predicted that peak demand costs, those in those key hours of 4 to 7, would double because of the increase in demand from electric vehicles. So we're not seeing it yet, but it's coming and we need to prepare for it.
All right. Todd Myers, thank you for taking time to explain it to us here on The Morning Ride. I do kind of remember hearing more reports, at least of the last couple of months, about development of these data centers in places like Texas. And in general, you probably have cheaper business operating costs.
I wonder why that would be.
Right? In a state like Texas, probably fewer hurdles to jump through or jump over and all that business. So maybe that's why we haven't seen that usage of data centers in the state of Washington compared to what you might get in a more business-friendly state like Texas, say. But we'll keep our ear to the ground about that one, that's for sure.
Yep.
All right. Todd, thank you for the time, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take care. Thanks for having me on.
All righty. There's Todd Myers, Washington Policy Center Environmental Policy Analyst.